engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, Father, it is good to be with you and all of you, Teresa and brothers and sisters from around the country and around the world, and many more will be joining us by morning. And this is just so wonderful and exciting and already renewing and refreshing, isn't it? I mean, if we just stopped this right now and all went home, it would have been worth it, okay? Just to see each other again, even for a few moments, and receive again from the Lord that call to do the saving work that we do. Most of you, we have known each other for years. For some of you that I'm just meeting for the first time, I am Father Frank Pavone, the director of Priests for Life, and privileged to be pastoral director of Rachel's Vineyard, and we, all of our Priests for Life team, bring you their prayerful greetings tonight and during these coming days. We are indeed beginning now a period of days, and we have to keep in mind, just like when we go on a retreat, not all time is the same. There are certain days, God is always the same, his word is always the same, but there are certain days when we are more apt to receive his graces. There are certain days when we are standing out in the rain of his grace, but there are other days when we're standing under waterfalls. And these days immediately ahead of us that have already begun are such days. Grace is even more powerful. Opportunity to renew the vision that God gives for our work and the strength that he gives us to fulfill it. Because he doesn't give us one without the other, by the way. If he gives us a vision, he gives us a call, and he gives us a mission, he gives us the strength. He gives it to us. And in these days, he wants to give more of it to us. Not all time is the same. Not every day is the same. These are moments, hours, days of grace ahead of us that are intense. And brothers and sisters, the reading we just heard in the gospel can in fact be seen as summarizing the powerful work of healing that God does in the church and in the world, and that he has called us to be a part of. It's a work of healing that will be unfolded for us this week, of course, in the ministries of Rachel's Vineyard, Grief to Grace, and Duty to Heal. You see, the vision that he has laid upon the heart and mind of Teresa and those of us that work with her and around her, continues to manifest itself in these varied ways. That's one of the signs of the Spirit at work, is that he's constantly flowering and blooming and expressing himself in a variety of different works and ministries that constantly evolve to meet the needs of the times, but that are always sustained by something that never changes. And what is it in this gospel passage that never changes and that supports the work that we do? The Son of Man will be handed over to those who will kill him, but he will rise. There was never an act of killing more momentous, consequential, or destructive than the killing of God himself when he was nailed to a cross. And that death was undone. If that death was undone, if that act of killing was literally reversed, so are all the rest. In principle, in foundation, so are all the rest. He settles it all in one act of the resurrection. That provides the basis for what we are doing, the only basis. That is where we start. We start with victory over death. We start with victory over killing, bloodshed, loss, violence, trauma. We start with victory. The Son of Man will be given over to men who will kill him. And in that killing of God, who is life itself, you can see summarized all the killing from the beginning of history to the end. It's all there. And on that morning, 3 days later, when he walked out of his own tomb, he brought everybody else with him. And in that resurrection overturned not just his death, but the entire kingdom of death. And so it began. Remember the scene in, was it the Jesus of Nazareth movie when the high priest looks into the tomb? It's an extra biblical account, but I think very significant. Looks into the tomb and says, and sees it empty and says, now it begins. It all begins. What begins? This reversal of death. This reversal of loss, this healing of the wound begins, this healing of the wound of all humanity. And you and I are part of that now. No, we couldn't have dreamt it up. We couldn't have chosen this mission. We wouldn't have had the courage, the wisdom, the insight. We can't do it. He has decided to make us part of this incredible dynamic of healing that begins with the resurrection. And then this passage goes on to illuminate two other themes that are so much a part of this work. Number one, that the greatest among us is the servant of all. We are serving. We are serving those that come to us because they're wounded. We're serving those who are wounded and don't even realize yet how wounded they are. We're serving them. They set the agenda. If there are people that are wounded because of abortion, they set the agenda. We go to serve them. We create and the response based on what they need. If there are people who are wounded because of sexual abuse, they set the agenda. We have our response based on what they need. We are their servants. If there are people who are wounded because of combat and things that they have been involved in the military, they set the agenda. We're here to just say, well, Lord, where do you want me to go? Where's the wound? Where's the pain? Where's the grief? Where's the loss? You are risen. I am standing in victory already. Let's go. We are the servants of all. And you know what that also means? Nobody keeps us away from them. Nobody. Where they are, we will go. And if somebody tries to block the road, and if somebody tries to close the door, well, we're going to go around, we're going to go up, we're going to go under, we'll dig a tunnel and get to the other side of the door if necessary. We go, because we're not playing games here. Jesus Christ wasn't playing games. The apostles were not sent out to play games or to pretend to serve. Service means, literally, we do what it takes. Whatever it takes to go meet the person who needs our service and make sure they get it. It doesn't matter who gets the credit. It doesn't matter what they wear. It doesn't matter anything. But that we know the need, we know how to serve that need, and we go do it. And then the third thing that comes up in this reading, whoever receives a child receives God. Jesus makes the child the symbol of the kingdom of heaven. The child is the symbol of the kingdom of heaven. The child is the symbol of God himself. Receive this child, and you receive me, and you receive the one who sent me. Well, Lord, what more do we need to do? And this not only means that individually and also as a society, we are called to receive, welcome, nurture, protect every child. Doesn't only mean that. Notice the deeper level of meaning here in the light of what we've been saying already. What do we do on a Rachel's Vineyard retreat for the mom, the dad, of a child who's been lost to abortion? It's true to say, among the many dynamics occurring in the retreat, that we help them again to receive the child. They lost the child. Perhaps culpably, perhaps less culpably, they lost the child. But in the retreat, do they not receive the child? Whoever receives a child, and therefore whoever helps someone receive a child. In his name, we're receiving the child not because we have a right to the child. We're receiving the child because God gave that child as a gift. We don't have the right to demand the gift. Neither do we reject the gift. We receive the gift. And we're helping people to receive the child even after it's too late. Because in reality, it isn't. And the child being received is as real as any child. And the fact that they receive, therefore, Jesus and therefore the one who sent him is also real. And the marvelous thing is that as soon as we help somebody do that, we've received him too. And we find for ourselves eternal life. So, you ready? You ready to do this again? You ready to receive this mission again? You ready to deepen your understanding of the vision? You ready to strengthen yourself and let God strengthen you? Are you ready to become so fired up, so intensely empowered in these next few days that you run out of here? Not because you don't want to stay with everybody else. Not simply because you have to get back home come Thursday or Friday. But because you literally find yourself sitting on top of a rocket, sending you back to the people in need, the people whom we serve. Yes, Lord Jesus, we are ready. Make these days even more than we dare to ask or imagine. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.